Commander. You don't know me, but I know you. I want to play a game.
Welcome back to the Hiding Fear Horrors podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
I'm Maria.
And today we are reviewing Saw, released in 2004, directed by James Wan, and screenplay by Lee Whannell. Maria, can you give the people the plot summary?
Photographer Adam Stanite and oncologist Lawrence Gordon regain consciousness while chained to pipes at either end of a filthy bathroom. As the two men realize they've been trapped by a sadistic serial killer nicknamed Jigsaw and must complete his perverse puzzle to live, flashbacks relate the fates of his previous victims. Meanwhile, Mr. Gordon's wife and young daughter are forced to watch his torture via closed-circuit video.
So, Saw, I'm pretty sure this is none of our first time watching this movie. This is a classic movie that kicked off a whole new genre of horror movies, and it brought us back to James Wan and Lee Whannell, who we just left with the Insidious franchise. But Maria, what were your first thoughts when you first saw Saw?
I personally really liked the movies. I really liked the first movie. I feel like it's a really great start to the franchise. I think it's really good because I feel like you don't really know what to expect from the movie. Watching it again, it is a little cheesy, but it's from 2004. So, I guess you can't really expect much, but I think it's really good. Like, I think when I first saw it, I was like automatically hooked, and watching it again, I've seen it a couple times already, but watching it even today, I was like, I was still very, into the movie,
What about you, Tuan?
Yeah, this definitely wasn't my first time seeing this movie. I've definitely seen it a good amount of times over the years, just either through rewatches or, just random videos about it, stuff like that. It's one of those movies that's stuck with me, I guess, is like, just as a horror viewer in general, because I do like a good mystery in movies that I watch. So I think that's like one of the reasons why I did like Saw, because you're trying to unravel it at the same time as these characters. Plus, just the initial premise of it, of like watching it for the first time, you see these two people wake up in a dilapidated room, and no, they don't know how they got there. They're chained up, and then they listen to the tape, and it's like instantly intriguing after that point. Like, you're like, oh shit, like, what's happening here? Like, how did they get here? Why are they here? So it definitely leads to like the 5 W's, like, instantly, and you trying to figure out like what's going on, and it just pulls you in like immediately after seeing it. And going on into the further movies and stuff, like, it develops out the way it does, but just like putting this one in a box by itself, like, this is like a pretty good movie, and it's still like good till today. Like, I'm sure, like, if you show this to some people who haven't ever seen any of the Saw movies prior and you just saw them this one, they would be like intrigued as well and try to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I remember I was 9 or 10 when this movie first came out, and I remember I definitely saw it when I was 10, because I saw it the summer of, oh my god, I saw it the summer 2005. I was 10. Whew, I'm aging myself. But I remember my cousin had it on DVD, and we watched it late one night, and I remember being freaked the hell out, mostly because of Billy the Puppet, because I don't do ventriloquist dummies or porcelain dolls. So that was already like, this movie is freaking me the fuck out. Why is Billy the Puppet? Why the fuck is he here? But then, like, the overall movie, it was just like, wasn't something I've ever seen before. Like, I grew up watching, like, Halloween and Jason and Freddy, and yeah, it was, like, gruesome, and there was a lot of gore, but, like, this was different. It was, like, gritty and, like, dirty and nasty, and it's, like, if they don't die because of these traps, they might die because of fucking tetanus. Like, it just don't look, it just looks unsanitary and, like, ugh, uncomfortable. So, yeah, this movie definitely had a lasting effect on me as, like, a horror fan, and I'm glad we're kicking off our Saw retrospective. So let's just hop right into it all. So, Maria, were there any scenes that stood out, good, bad, or indifferent?
I think the first scene is definitely one that stands out because it's like the scene just opens and then you just kind of automatically jump into everything already. There's really no warning. There's no, like, leading up to it. Like, they're already in that dirty bathroom, you know, and they're chained. So I feel like definitely from the first scene, it already kind of, like, grabbed my attention. As well as kind of, like, the kidnapping scenes where you see them being kidnapped, I guess, and that, like, scary mask that they have going on was pretty creepy. And honestly, like, that last scene where, you know, Jigsaw is, like, or you, like, realize that the guy that you thought was dead in the room was actually not dead.
Listen carefully, if you will. There are rules.
The rules. I don't know. That scene always got to me. I guess also the scene right before that when Dr. Gordon kind of starts losing it and he, like, you know, chains off his leg.
What are you doing?
And you see him just kind of, like, I mean, I guess you assume, right, that he's kind of going insane and then she shoots at him. And it all just happens so fast until you realize that, like, you know, he didn't really mean, I mean, I guess he definitely meant to shot at him, but definitely didn't mean to, like, really, you know, kill him. Which I kind of feel like even in the moment of him, you know, like, cutting his foot off, he was still like, you know, I'm not gonna kill this guy, which I thought was cool. Yeah, I think it's just those scenes that stood out.
For me, scenes that stood out in a bad way were, it was too many flashbacks. It was too much going on. The flashbacks, while they helped tell the story, it was also kind of distracting. Like, within that bathroom or whatever they were, it felt, like, claustrophobic and closed in. And I feel like with the more flashbacks they showed, the more open it became. And it's like, I wanted it to stay confined in that room. But I don't know. It's kind of tricky because the flashbacks did help fully flesh out the story. But I felt like, I don't know, you also could have took them out and just kept it very isolated. But that's just me. What about you, Twine? Any scenes that stood out?
Yeah, I agree, Maria, in that the one scene that always stands out to me is just that ending, like, the ending montage where we see John Kramer get up from the ground and basically revealed that, like, he was alive and that body wasn't, like, dead the entire time. Like, he was there with them and not, like, you know, moving, but was cognitive of what was going on. He just had, like, the muscle relaxers or whatever applied to him. He gets up and talks to Adam and does, like, the little iconic game over as he closes the door on him. Like, that was always just, like, a crazy scene because on the first watch, like, nothing can prepare you to think that's going to happen. Like, of anything that's gone on so far, that would have happened. And I definitely feel like that's seared in my head. It's one of those like really good scenes. So I don't think there were any more that I more so liked. I do. There were some that I disliked here in the movie. One of them being when Danny Glover's character, Detective Tapp, gets to the Jigsaw's lair with Detective Singh, and they find everything that they need, but they just kind of bumble about while they're there. They wait for Jigsaw to come up the elevator and try to confront him. Jigsaw starts a trap and they try to chase after him. It was all a jumble mess. They should have immediately just tried to handcuff Jigsaw once they came up. Even if they didn't know, as much police randomly do stuff to people who they don't even know if they're the person they're looking for. I mean, in this situation, that seemed the best thing to do, and they didn't do any of that. And Detective Singh ends up getting killed because of the shotgun trap. And Tap is sliced in the neck, which should have killed him, but it didn't. Which leads me to another scene I didn't like, was him getting killed because he got sliced in the neck and survived, but that one gunshot took him out. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, because they could have at least hid near the door, you know? They could have hid near, by the elevator, really taken him by surprise. Instead of, they were kind of just around.
They were really just there. What was going on? They were all the way across the room, had whack hiding places, and even if they didn't stop the trap that was gonna kill that dude, I don't know, Jigsaw is right there. At least handcuff him. I don't know.
Honestly, they could have at least shot him. Guy is over here, killing people. They could have. I mean, I don't know. They could have done a lot of things, and they didn't.
They were really incompetent in that moment. They,
yeah. But something I also wanted to bring up that Mark actually reminded me of was the flashbacks. I feel like if you're watching this movie for the first time and you have absolutely no idea about the franchise or what's going on, I feel like the flashbacks won't make sense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You kind of see at the end that, it was, John who did this. He's Jigsaw. But I feel like if you're a first-time viewer, you're kind of who's John? Why is John doing this? What's going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah. We definitely get worse as we go on.
Yeah, but I also agree with what you said earlier. I love mystery in my horror movies, and this is just definitely, it was a plot twist after plot twist after plot twist, so it was great.
Usually we talk about the kills, but because this is Saw, we're going to talk about the traps, which also happened to cause a couple kills. So, Tuan, were there any traps that stood out for you?
I mean, how could you not have Saw without the freaking reverse bear trap? We saw it in this one with Amanda, and she had to kill someone to get out of it. Now, she didn't die in the trap, but we saw what it was capable of on that mannequin head in the movie, and what would have happened to Amanda if she wasn't able to get it off her head. But it's just so iconic. It's become Saw trap, if they even brought it back so many X amount of times or whatever. And it's just one of those things that, I feel like most people, they may not know about Saw. They may have seen or know maybe about the reverse bear trap. if you ask a random who's seen these movies about the trap, so that's one that definitely sticks in the head. And I mean, just the general game or trap with Gordon and Adam in general, because it's not a test of like strength, really, like how some other ones are, as we kind of go along the way, or like waiting. It was really them trying to figure out, and also just the will to live, which we saw with Gordon towards the end.
For me, the dumbest trap was the trap that Adam was in, because there was no way he was going to get out if he's waking up and immediately the fucking key falls down the drain like that. That oh trap God, is yes. That trap is stupid. And then I don't want to jump ahead to the other movies, but like that trap is stupid. And then when you find out like why that trap is stupid, it just, it makes me so mad. But what about you, Maria? Were there any traps that stood out for you?
I agree. Okay, well, yeah. So the bear trap is definitely a really iconic one. Also, I think the trap with, I think it's like the scene where you kind of first meet the two detectives and they're going down like a basement, and it's like a guy who like basically ran through barbed wire, I think it was. And it kind of talks about how, you know, he was trying to take his life. But then I guess like in the recording, he's like, Jigsaw was kind of like, you know, were you really trying to take your life, or were you just doing it for attention? But now like you're gonna have to cut yourself in order for you to live. And you see him tangled up in everything, and you see like his stomach split open, and it was just, I mean, I do personally think it was probably also not a very great setup trap, but I also do agree with what you said, Mark, about how Adam's trap was stupid, because I guess not wanting to jump to the other movies, but he kind of basically never had a chance, you know?
Yeah, like you're right,
you know what I mean? And like, okay, well, I guess we'll talk about this later, but yeah, and I feel like that trap was kind of dumb. And I think that's it, actually.
And I just want to add in on there, like, I feel like anybody who would have been in that situation, that, like, where Adam specifically woke up in, like, the tub, like, nobody, like, obviously you don't know what's going on, so there's no way that, like, you're gonna be, like, immediately calm in that, and just not, and not try to, like, jerk up, see what's happening.
Nothing's gonna register to you, because you're freaking out.
Literally, so, like, there's no possible way that he would have been able to get the key.
What about kills? Were there any kills that stood out to you guys?
Probably just Detective Singh, since he did die by the like the shotgun trap. Because honestly, it's not funny, but I thought when I watched it recently, I remember he died in that part, but I felt like it looked like he noticed that the string was there, the way that he kind of stopped and then kept going and then walked into the shotguns. Like, it kind of looked like it clicked for him, like, oh wait. But then he steadied, he kept walking, and then just got like fucking shot up. So that was a good one. And I already mentioned that I hated Detective Tapp's kill, by just getting shot once in the chest and dying, compared to, I don't know, getting your throat fucking slit open.
What about,
I liked, well, again, I guess with the trap that I mentioned earlier, that guy who had to go through barbed wire, I thought that kill was pretty cool. It was pretty, I feel like it was gory, but it wasn't too gory. And I also, the kill when Adam, beat that one orderly to death, I forgot what his name was, but I thought that kill was, I mean, the kill itself wasn't like over the top, it wasn't crazy, but I think what led up to that, you know, with like Dr. Gordon losing, I mean, I guess what you assume, he's losing like his mind a little bit, and then he shoots Adam, And then when it kind of looks like, you know, the orderly was also going to kill Dr. Gordon. And then next thing you know, it turns out Adam isn't actually dead. And then he like beats this other guy to death. I think that's why that kill stood out, because it's just, it was like one thing, then another thing, then another thing, then another thing, and then this guy's dead.
Well, let's move on to the characters. Let's start with Amanda. Tawan, what are your thoughts on Amanda?
Never liked this bitch, Amanda. I will give it to Amanda that she got out of her trap in the first place, but as it does go along in like other games and stuff in other movies, I mean, she probably had like one of the easier ones out of most people in these movies, because all it required for her was to kill someone else and get the key out of them. So for her, like, not saying like it's super easy to just like have to like kill somebody, but compared to what others have to deal with as we go along, besides like having to do that, she didn't have much other like input on herself in that like trap or whatever. And I just kind of feel that she, you know, she kind of got the, not like the easiest way out for a Jigsaw victim, I guess you could say. But besides that, we don't really get much of, you know, Amanda here, compared to, you know, like later on in the series as we see her get a little bit more fleshed out. But it was weird to me when her character was saying that she felt like it helped her, like, be in that situation and basically add to what Jigsaw thought he was doing was for the good of the people. And that was kind of weird for that. Like, that was always kind of weird in my head, but we see once we go a little more that, you know, Amanda is maybe not the most there person.
Maria, what are your thoughts on Amanda?
I agree with what Tawan is trying to say, but not really. I mean, I agree. I also feel like her trap was very lenient compared to everybody else, because I guess like comparing to the other traps, right? Compared to, you know, Dr. Gordon, where he had a saw off his foot, and compared to Adam, where, you know, he was basically a goner from the beginning, compared to that other guy who had to, you know, cut himself to live. And that one other guy, I forgot what the other trap was, but it was like a...
was the candle one.
Yeah.
He had to, like, hold the candle to the wall.
Yeah, and so I kind of feel like hers was... I mean, the trap itself was cool, you know? Like, that contraption itself, I feel like, was enough for the audience to be like, wow, this trap is great. But, like, yeah, like, realistically, though... I mean, not again, like Tawan said, not saying that killing someone is easy, and I'm certainly not having to put my hands in his body to get a key, but it's kind of more like the other traps, you know, the victim kind of had to fight for survival, you know, and they had to kind of like they kind of had to feel pain first in order for them to survive. Whereas Amanda was more like, so I have to hurt this guy so I could live. Which I think that choice is a lot easier to make. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I do agree that what happens later in the series kind of changes my opinion on Amanda. But as of right now, I mean, I'm glad she survived. But I guess we don't get much of Amanda in this movie in order to form like an actual opinion of her just yet.
Well, Tawan, what were your thoughts on Detective Singh?
Obviously, out of the two, Detective Singh was the one who didn't make most of an impression on me. And he also died fairly quickly between him and Detective Tapp in the story. So there wasn't, I would say, much to go off of with his character. Now, I give him and Detective Tapp both, like, really, I don't know, I guess low ratings because of how they handled the situation when they were in, like, Jigsaw's lair. And they had an opportunity to try to entrap him or handcuff him, and they both, like, fumbled that bag, and Singh ended up dying because of it. So I would say when it kind of comes to his character, I really don't have much input on him because he went out fairly quickly, and we, you know, more so focused on Tapp at that point.
Maria, what are your thoughts on Detective Tapp?
Sorry. I mean, I guess the way the movie was kind of like portraying the story, it's kind of hard to gauge out an opinion on him. But I mean, I know Tawan also keeps bringing up this scene, but it's kind of hard to, like, I don't want to say respect them, but it's just a little like they could have handled taking down Jigsaw in so many different ways. And they just kind of didn't. And I think another thing too was when, you know, Tapp was staking out Dr. Gordon's apartment, and he saw like a random guy there, and he just kind of really didn't do anything, I guess. I mean, I guess to be fair, it's not like he would have known that somebody was there. You know, I think at that point he was not a detective anymore. If the timeline I'm thinking of is correct, he was already kind of like, you know, taken off the force. But I just feel like I don't know why these detectives were in the movie. I feel like they kind of didn't really do anything, to be honest. I feel like they were just kind of fillers. I mean, I guess really any like serial killer movie, you have to have some type of like detective in it. But I feel like they never really did anything. I mean, I think Dr. Gordon himself said that it just seemed like Tapp was so sure that he was Jigsaw, that he was, you know, surveying him and following him and paying other people to follow him, that it's kind of like, I mean, he could have done so much other things with his time. You know what I mean? I think at that point, he just kind of became obsessed with Gordon because of what happened with his partner. But I just kind of, it just doesn't look good. I guess it's the best way I can explain it.
Tawan, what are your thoughts on Dr. Gordon?
One thing I can say about Gordon is he had the will, because I don't think I could have. He had the will to live when it all came down to it, and decided to cut his damn ankle off and cut the rest of his leg off and get out of that room. And that I will always give his character props for, because I probably could not have done that. I probably would have been Adam in that situation, to be quite honest with you. But the way that Gordon's like story is put together for his character, and this is where I will agree with Mark in regards to like the flashbacks and stuff and how they use them. It's kind of like they zoom out a lot with certain things. Like, you know, you'll see a piece of something in Saw, and then they'll do a flashback and zoom it out, and now we got another character here in the flashback again, and now, like, it's like the whole piece now. So, you know, but that's kind of the fun in it, but piecing together kind of like Gordon's story and, like, what he is kind of up to. I don't know if I... trying to think, because I don't know if I would consider him one of those like people that should be in like a Jigsaw type of situation. Like, I don't really think his character really did any like the worst thing that he like could have with given why like Kramer decided to put him in here. And and besides like his whole thing with him kind of, if I recall, I believe he was like cheating on his wife with the student. Isn't that correct?
I thought it was his secretary.
Okay, well, yeah, I think that, yeah, either that or, yeah, it was either that or, like, a student, because I remember it was someone that, like, his work, because, but besides him kind of, like, going to do, like, that, I don't really think there was nothing as morally wrong, which he didn't even end up going through it, if I recall. I don't even think he ended up actually, like, doing it. I think they met up and it didn't actually happen with them, and... besides the kind of like morally like gray area there wasn't much that he really did to, I think, earn the first Jigsaw trap that we see. So I don't think Gordon's like a bad character, and given the situation with him and like Adam that they were trapped in, they made the best of what was available for their situation is the best way to put it.
Maria, what are your thoughts on Adam?
I also kind of feel like, well, in this movie, it just seems more like Adam was a bystander more than anything, you know? Like, he was just stalking Mr. Gordon, and he would, you know, that's something he was being paid to do. So, you know, from this movie, you're kind of confused as to like, why is he here? You know what I mean? Because I mean, yeah. So in this movie, you don't really get much of like his background, and it's just kind of like confusing, I guess. As to like why Adam is there, and especially because he doesn't really seem like a bad person. I mean, I guess if you really like think about it, he was kind of just basically doing his job. I know that a lot of like the media portrays, you know, photographers and like paparazzi and stuff like that as like seedy people or like shady people. So I'm wondering if that's what they were trying to do with Adam. But I don't know. I mean, I felt bad for Adam. He was just kind of like, I mean, the way they made it seem is that he just got caught up in all of this, you know. So yeah, I guess I felt bad for him.
Well, what are your thoughts on Jigsaw, aka John Kramer?
I mean, you know, in this movie, I feel like you don't really get much of John Kramer. Like, you kind of get like more, I guess, like, so in the end, you kind of do get more of a reason of why he's doing what he's doing. But it's like, it's not information that you get right off the bat. It's just kind of, you know, what you get after. So it's kind of hard to really like relate to him or really like, I mean, like, you know, he says that, you know, he's doing it to people who aren't grateful of, like, living. But then you're, like, confused as to, like, why Gordon, why Adam, why the orderly. I mean, he's smart. And very cunning, I guess, you know, for these traps and like basically setting everything up in order for them to go the way that he wants them to go. But I think it's, I mean, and like, I know it's like the first, it's like a whole movie, right? But it's barely the first movie of like the whole franchise. And I feel like you're literally like on the tip of the iceberg of what is John Kramer. You know what I mean? Or Jigsaw.
I get that, but my whole point, like, watching his first movie, it's just, like, the motivation isn't there. Like, who the fuck made this guy the moral compass of the world, and he has to punish those who don't deserve to live? Because you're dying of cancer, you get to judge people. I mean, you have no idea why that person is cutting. You have no idea why that person might want to screw his student. Maybe his wife is a fucking bitch. Is she crazy? Like, why is John Kramer passing judgment? That part always, like, that's like my main sticking point. I'm like, who the fuck appointed you, sir? What about you, Tuan? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really a problem, and I would say that's one thing that I probably like about the Saw fandom is that most people like know that, like, don't agree with the way that fucking Jigsaw or Kramer like heralds himself as like this like righteous person doing things for good to like turn people into like good like characters, which it gets brought up like later on in certain other movies once we get there in the franchise. But yeah, I definitely like don't agree with like his like ways of trying to like shift people into these like, I guess, good citizens or whatever he deems as like a good citizen because like Amanda did drugs or, you know, was self-harming or something like that. Like, okay, like that's not for you to be the judge, jury, and executioner on. Like, that makes no sense. Like, there are like some people, like, there's like very few as it goes on who kind of deserve a bit of their fates, but most don't, especially to this extreme. Like, what is like, not Amanda, but like any of the other traps in here, had somebody survived, like the guy in the the barbed wire, the guy in the barbed wire, or the guy who survived like being covered in like that flammable gel, and he caught on fire. Like, okay, those two survived, now what? Like, you just gave them PTSD for life. So now they're about to, like, what do you get? You're not giving them nothing else but trauma. Like, nobody's learning from that. It's not, like, a learning experience. It's just a flight or flight, live or die type of thing. So I never agree with the moral grandstanding of John Kramer, and definitely would disagree with that if any like body ever tried to like say that's like a good thing. Not, of course, like, not y'all, but you know.
Well, we've come to the end of our character section, but we are not done with the podcast just yet, because Tuan has to give us the behind the scenes info and facts. Tuan?
Yes. So Saw the 2004 had a budget of $1 to $1.2 million, and it brought in a box office of $103.9 million. A couple of interesting facts about the movie. The creation of the franchise was influenced by a low-budget approach of the Blair Witch Project, saw co-creator Lee Whannell once stated, "For James and I, Saw began back in 1991 when we first watched Blair Witch." The movie started as a short film. James Wan and Lee Whannell wrote the story in 2001 and made a short film of just one scene to shop around Hollywood. The short eventually caught the eye of a small studio, Evolution Entertainment, who picked it up and later formed into Twisted Pictures Horror Division after the movie's commercial success. The film was originally going to be filmed through the perspective of security camera in an elevator. Director James Wan wanted the camera movements to reflect the two main characters' emotions and personality. He filmed Dr. Gordon with steady, controlled shots and Adam as handheld shots to capture the emotions of their situation. In order to make the actors feel what the characters are going through, all of the bathroom scenes were shot in chronological order. The film first received an NC-17 rating because of its lighting and sound. Saw was only meant to be a demo reel, reflecting back on a revelation that the sequel was a possibility. Wan said, "We literally let the bad guy open a door and then close it." In the original concept for Saw, there was no Jigsaw. The character of Jigsaw was a result of migraine headaches. After film school, Whannell was working a job he disliked where he began having terrible migraine headaches. Convinced that he had a brain tumor, Whannell went for an MRI and began fantasizing about what he would do if he was told he would only be given a limited amount of time to live. He later applied this to Jigsaw, pondering what a psychotic person would do if they only had so much time, and what his victims would do if they were placed in even more dire situations. Some critics' reactions: the film currently sits at a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. Entertainment Weekly gave the film a B-, calling it derivative and messy and too nonsensical for its own good. That's still a good rating, but they kind of trashed it. The New York Times gave a mixed review, saying the film does a better than average job of conveying the panic and helplessness of men terrorized by a sadist in the degrading environment, but it is still not especially scary. What sets its demon apart from run-of-the-mill movie serial killers is his impulse to humiliate and torture his victims and justify it with some twisted morality. Bloody Disgusting ranked the film 10th of its list of top 20 horror films of the decade.
Well, now we've come to the fun part. Maria, Tuan, do we cash or pass Saw? Maria?
A cash. I really like these movies, and I really like the first one. It's definitely one of my favorites. I really like the storyline. I like how it sets up. Because, you know, it's just a series that you kind of have to watch altogether, honestly. And I also really enjoyed the music. I didn't even realize that until today, but like, the, I feel like the music really fits the movie well. Like, it fits the vibes that they're trying to give you. And then again, I think, like I mentioned earlier, it's like, it's literally like, you know, twist after twist after twist, and it's like, I don't know, I think it's really good. I think it's a movie that kind of still stands today. It's definitely a movie that you can just talk about, you know? So I cash.
Tuan, do you cash or pass?
I will give Saw a cash. We'll say it definitely, out of all the ones in the movie, it is not my favorite, but it still holds up and, you know, is the introduction for where we go from here. And I do feel it's kind of essential viewing, because with the way these movies go, as time goes on, they go back to a lot of things, like even the like 6th or 7th movies are like going back to the first one. So I feel it's essential viewing to kind of set you up for the rest of them. And I would definitely give it a cash in that aspect. And even if, like, someone isn't going to watch the rest of them, just as, like, James Wan said, you could, like, they saw this, like, as a singular runoff thing. So you could just watch this one and not even watch the other ones, and you would still, like, have a decent time just trying to figure out the mystery of it all.
And for me, it's a cash. Just kind of like what I said at the start, this literally kicked off and birthed a brand new subgenre of horror. Like, this gave birth to the torture porn genre of horror. And this is what become the main genre of horror for pretty much the rest of the 2000s. Like, this literally dominated the horror section when it was mostly just a bunch of, like, Scream wannabes, until this came out and kind of just, like, blew that all out the water. So this is a good movie. It's a good start. And I'm excited for the rest of the franchise. Now, I've stated on other podcasts, I've only seen this one, the second one, and the third one. And I've seen part 8 and part 9. I've not seen 4, 5, and 6, so I'm excited to go on this journey. I'm glad we're back to another good franchise. You know, back in the house of James Wan and Lee Whannell, we just left them, so I'm excited. And hope you guys are too. Thank you so much for listening. Good night. If you like this episode, please be sure to check out Hide and Fear Horror's past reviews from big franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th, and the Chucky franchise, or one-off reviews like Us and Midsommar. You can follow Hide and Fear Horrors on Instagram and TikTok, where the host posts updates and mini reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms. If you're listening to us on YouTube, don't forget to please like and subscribe. Hide and Fear Horror is produced by Mark Smart, Maria Perez, and Torin Griffin. Edited by Mark Smart. Theme by Lethal Injections. The Hide and Fear Horrors podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?